Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of the Tuesday show morning show hosts, and it's going to be a good morning because there will be two morning show hosts here in a moment. I'm here with Phil Huff and Savannah Willison from Friends of Scotchman Peak, and we'll do a further introduction in a moment after weather, but good morning, you two.
Good morning, Julie.
Yes, yeah, nice to have you here on a kind of rainy day. We can deal with it, though. And the reason we can deal with it is because it's not going to last very long. Here's a quick weather report for you all. Today, we're looking at a mostly rainy day, high of 59, with showers, though, 80%, and then down to 30% tonight, and a low of 39, so we're not going to be freezing. Doesn't look like we'll be freezing all week. But on Wednesday, tomorrow, yay, here comes the sun again. High of 66, low of 41, and same story on Thursday, but warmer, a high of 74 and a low of 44. And then, oh, get ready for it, you guys. Our first day on Friday will be a high in the 80s, sunny and 82.
And boy, are we looking for those flowers in May with these April showers.
May flowers. With May flowers, Friday. Sometimes come mushrooms like morels, but I haven't found one yet, Phil.
Well, they're out there. I see a lot of friends posting photos of them. I don't think they're photos from last year.
No, I think it's true. I think I've just been peeking around in the wrong spots, or they're hiding from me.
Those elusive morels.
They really are elusive, but I will find some before it's all over. All right, well, let's have a nice introduction and get our fun talk going. So this morning, as I mentioned, I'm so happy to be joined by you, Phil Huff. We know you're a morning show host, but when you're not doing that very big job, you're the executive director of Scotchman Peak Wilderness.
Yeah, today I'm on the other side of the table for those who can draw a visual of the studio.
That's right. How does that feel? Nervous?
I'm afraid you're going to grill me.
I don't think so. And then we have a new victim for this show. And today we're also joined by you, Savannah Willison, and you are the new person who's programs coordinator for Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness. Welcome.
Hi, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Happy to see you. Nice to meet you. Well, as we often do, we would like for folks to tell us a bit about themselves before we launch into other aspects of the interview. And we don't know much about you, Savannah, so why don't you give us the long version? Phil's going to give us a short version later. But Savannah, tell us about yourself, how you came to be here.
So I grew up in Idaho, grew up in Southern Idaho, Boise, and then went to college at the University of Montana, where I studied resource conservation and ecological restoration, and then went into education for a few years. And then after that, I decided I wanted to do seasonal work, and I worked with the Forest Service up in the Flathead National Forest, and then worked down at a ski resort in Utah. So that's kind of the gist of it.
Wow, that's quite a varied career so far, and you're a young person, so that's a lot in a short amount of time. Yeah. Wonderful. And how did you come to be here working for Friends of Scotchman Peaks?
Well, I was unfortunately part of the February layoffs with the Forest Service. And so after that, me and my partner, Aiden, were like, all right, time to look for something else. And we always wanted to come back to Idaho. And yeah, it's a different part than what I grew up in. But found this job posting and looked into it. And it looked like a really wonderful organization and aligned with exactly what I would want to be doing if, I wasn't with the Forest Service job. So yeah, applied, got it.
Yeah. Here we are. Wonderful. And how lucky, because I'm sure about 100,000 people were looking for jobs the same time you were.
Yeah, it was a little stressful. Definitely felt fortunate to be able to land something, especially still working in public lands and with trails and all of the good stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like it will be a good fit for you. And Phil?
We were really excited that Savannah applied, and we're really excited about bringing her on board. And the Forest Service's loss is certainly our gain, our community gain. But there was a huge uptick in applications for the open position as a result of the recent chaos going on in the federal government.
I would think so. Phil, do you want to give us a quick bio? Oh, you've sure. done it a number of times, but it's always nice to hear.
There's also new listeners, but the pertinent one here is for 20 years, I've been part of this thing we call the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness in there at the founding days in January of 2005. Before that, my wife and I had moved to Sandpoint here in 2002. After moving around the country in various positions with the hotel business and with various long-distance adventures, we like to hike, we like to get out and enjoy our public lands. And when we moved here, I thought it was time to give back and do something to protect some of those fabulous areas that we had been walking through on so many hikes.
Yes, and you were able to focus on a proposed wilderness area, which is Friends of Scotchman Peak.
Yeah, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks have been, as I said, working at this since January 2005. At that time, the Forest Service was going through a revision of their master plan, and they were looking at areas that they had already recommended for wilderness, and then part of the planning process was to reevaluate those. And at the time, we thought that evaluation process was getting backseat to some of the other issues at the table, fire and access, energy production, timber production. And although those are all valid things, we thought there needed to be more voices and more oomph at the table in regards to wilderness, particularly the Scotchman Peaks, this proposed area that we have on the Panhandle Forest. So a group of us got together and brainstormed a bit about how to do that, and in mid-January of 2005, we came up with this idea for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, and here we are.
Right, and it has grown and grown, and the Friends have grown, and there are so many Friends now, and it's a well-known, very well-known proposed wilderness area that gets a lot of visits.
We just topped our 12,000th Friend.
Wow.
We're not a membership organization. You don't have to technically join anything or pay any dues or pass any qualifying test. All that is needed to become a friend is to click on the button on our website that says Become a Friend and sign up for one of our communication forums, either snail mail or email, and say that you support the Scotchman Peaks. And we took that approach because we knew we wanted a very broad base of supporters, including people who might not traditionally feel comfortable joining an environmental group. And so we wanted those people who could support a concept. And we knew that we needed to do that to build the people necessary, the choir of voices, that not just number, but diversity that would be needed to bring about legislation. And so far, that's proven to be true. We continue to gain 500 to 700 friends every year.
Yes, and you've been through a cycle or two of the legislative process and processes, and you're not quite there with the wilderness designation, but the work goes on.
The work goes on. We're currently looking at a couple of different landscape proposals, one for Idaho and one for Montana. For listeners new to the area, the proposed wilderness sits about a third in Idaho, about two-thirds in Montana, north and east of Lake Pendray, partly in the Idaho Panhandle Forest, partly in the Kootenai National Forest. And so ultimately we'll need actions by two different bills that are supported by each the Montana and Idaho delegations, and that's what we're working towards. And along the way, in order to not only expand the voices, but to do the work needed to keep the wilderness characteristics of the area, we've developed a large array of programs we're going to talk about, and we'll pivot here to Savannah, our new program coordinator. She's pulling a lot of those together. We do things year-round, but summer is a particularly busy season between trail maintenance, our trail ambassador, mountain goat education project, our upcoming hike series. It's just a really busy time.
Yes, it's just about to kick in. And with that, I think we'll begin to put Savannah through her paces and see what she has learned in this short amount of time.
It's a great test.
Yes, this will be your first, maybe not your first test, but a test. Well, Savannah, why don't you go and tell us just what is, Phyllis begun this conversation, but why don't you tell us more about basically mission, type of work that Friends of Scotchman Peak does, and how that relates to your work, what you'll be doing.
Yeah, totally. Hopefully I can do it all justice. I guess just the mission of Friends of Scotchman's is to have a Scotchman Peaks for our future generations to be able to enjoy and recreate in. And I totally agree and, you know, want to support that. But I guess the way I fold into that is I have the three programs, the Winter Tracks, Trail Ambassador, and Trail Work Days, Maintenance Days. And so the Trail Ambassador and the Trail Work Days are pretty consistent throughout the whole summer. It's every weekend in June, starting in June, is the Trail Ambassador program. And just about every weekend, we have trail maintenance projects. So if you're ever wanting to get out on a weekend, you can come join us for pretty much whatever you want to do. If you want to go on a hike by yourself, or if you want to come join us, stuff like that. And then, yeah.
Yes, and so in two different areas, if a person wanted to be a trail ambassador, how would they go about becoming one?
They can go online at our website, and you can sign up there, or you can shoot me an email, or Rose, or Phil, anybody an email, and we can get you set up with that. But honestly, if you're ever just thinking, man, I want to hike Scotchman Peak this weekend, give us a call and we can set you up being a trail ambassador.
That's great. How would folks reach you? What's the contact info?
My email, so it's my name, Savannah, at scotchmanpeaks.org.
Okay. Yeah. And is that also how one would reach just the general info? Okay.
Yeah, general info. Info at Scotchman Peaks.
Info. Okay. Or just go to Google scotchmanpeaks.org and you'll get connected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's neat.
The Trail Ambassador Program is really a wonderful program. It started in 2016 after an incident that had occurred in 2015, designed to keep hikers safe in mountain goat country. You wouldn't think you might have to tell someone it's a bad idea to let an animal, which can be grumpy at times, with sharp horns, not lick you or take a selfie with you. But it turns out we do have to do that. And so the idea is to keep hikers safe and to keep mountain goats wild so that the Idaho Department of Fish and Game doesn't have to come in and remove any of them, take them elsewhere. And, of course, then trails open because the ultimate disaster is for the trail to be closed.
That's for sure. Savannah, what does a day as a trail ambassador look like? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, you would come and you would get a T-shirt and a hat from us. And before you go and do it, there's a little video to educate on exactly what to say about the goats and everything. And then you go and you go hike Scotchman Peak and you hike slow. You talk to every person you see and you let them know, ask them if they know about the goats. And then you let them know if they don't about, you know, proper etiquette, goat etiquette. And you can go all the way to the summit. You can sit halfway. If you really, you know, you can sit at the bottom. Basically, you just try to get as many people as you can to know about the goats.
Okay, so there's no physical requirement. You could be a person that sat at the trailhead all day if you wanted to.
Yeah, and you could knit and read and talk to people as they go up, you know, start early and catch all the people on their way up.
We have had that. We request the really fast hikers don't try to come up to the summit and back to the base in record time. The idea, hopefully, is to spend some time on the trail talking to people throughout the day so we can hit most everyone going up on that given day.
Yes. And full disclosure, listeners, I have done the trail ambassador job and it is fun. It's a really fun job. You get to meet people. Some have hiked Scotchman's Peak many times. And for some, it's their first time. Some people are dressed in like major hiking gear, and sometimes people are dressed in flip-flops and like swimsuit tops and stuff. And so you just never know what kind of group you're going to get, but they're always so enthusiastic. And of course, one important thing is that they be prepared for weather, of course, and be prepared to have to be tired and drink water and all the things that we would expect on a hike. Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about the importance of those mountain goats because they really are a special feature of Scotchman's.
They're such a cool animal. I mean, who doesn't love the mountain goats? Here's an animal who their specialty is winter at high elevation. That's what defines them. And Doug Chadwick, who wrote the most definitive book about them, calls them a beast the color of winter. And if that isn't an apt description, that as soon as you hear that, you know exactly what he's talking about. Just what a cool critter. But they do have these unique adaptations to survive that. And the flexibility of the hooves, the muscular structure of the legs to be able to climb cliffs, to huddle into the narrowest of places. They're just, they're really cool. And yet they propagate very slowly. So when we lose one, it has a huge impact on the survival chances of the herd. So all the more reason to make sure that they don't need to be taken out of the herd action, removed lethally, removed to another location. And so if that happens because of an unfortunate incident that could be cured by making sure people practice good behavior, then, you know, we owe it to the goats.
We really do. And another such an interesting feature of their personalities is that they're really not very scared of us, not like an elk or another animal.
You know, there's an interesting debate amongst biologists about that. I'm on the side that says they're really frightened. They just overcome that fear because they're salt addicts.
Ah.
And so it's not that they're not frightened, they're salt addicts. And so in overcoming that, to come up to you to try to lick you, their heart rate goes up, their metabolism goes up, they're burning calories. This is not good for them either.
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking for them.
It's nerve-wracking for them, and yet they do it because they're salt addicts.
Yeah.
If we can remove that part of the equation, then they can live a little more peaceful life, and they get plenty of salt in their diet from mineral licks in the area to the content in various plants and all.
Okay, but they love salt. Well, that's a thing that humans and mountain goats have in common.
Yes.
Okay, Savannah, we're coming back to you. We've talked pretty, I think we've covered the Trail Ambassador program well, and let's move on to the trail work weekends and what those are like. Tell us what a day helping out on the trails in the proposed wilderness area will look like.
Yeah, well, we just had our first trail day last weekend going up Star Peak, and that was, I don't know, it was a great first day, you know, dust the cobwebs off. But basically, we'll show up at a trailhead or at a meeting point where we'll then go to the trailhead together, and we'll all grab a tool, we'll have a safety talk, and, you know, head up the trail. And whenever there's down tree, we'll clear that. Whenever there's tread work, we'll, you know, redig, move rocks, things like that, just to improve the trail so that when other people are hiking on it, they can say, wow, this is a nice trail.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready to go.
Yeah.
And how does this work compare to a day as a trail ambassador? Is it strenuous? Tell us what your physical requirements would need to be.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, more strenuous. I mean, at times if there's nothing down, then it's just like going on a walk or a hike. But definitely more strenuous than the trail ambassador, because, you know, trail ambassador, you don't have to hike all the way to the top. But with the trail work, you know, we do require, we'll carry Pulaskis and crosscut saws and different sorts of digging tools and stuff like that. So a little bit more physically demanding. But we do have some easier trail days that if you're a little bit nervous about, we can go out and you can learn the ropes on a slightly, you know, less intense trail.
Can you tell us about some of those? Do you have
your... Yeah, I don't have the exact dates, but we do have some intro to trail work days in June. We have one at the Pine Street Woods in Round Lake. So if you're just curious about it, you can come out and just see what a little bit of trail work is like without the commitment of doing a full trail. And those will be on June 12th at Pine Street Woods and June 21st at Round Lake.
Oh, good. And that's not, you're not driving too far out of town. It sounds like that would be a great intro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are really designed for the people who are trail work curious. They might not have ever been out before and want to figure out if this is right for them. And really, there's a tool for everyone, from the crosscut saw and the Pulaskis to the loppers. Always need clearing the annual brush.
So true. And what nice venues for these events. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to spend a little time at either Round Lake or Pine Street Woods? That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Now, moving on, we've talked a bit about trail work and what that looks like. Go ahead, Phil.
A few special trail project days coming up, including one this Friday, which there's still some spots open for.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good. Tell us.
And we always, this Friday's Morris Creek.
Yep, Morris Creek. And then the next weekend we have Blacktail Creek. And then a harder one, if you guys want a bit of a challenge, on the 16th of May, we're going up Goat Mountain. Yeah. And we could use some extra hands for that, because it's a beautiful hike, but a little bit on the tougher side.
All of our trails have winter blowdown, winter fall down from snow, ice, wind, rain, loose soils. So you can predict that almost every trail needs some downed trees cleared. And all of these trails are loved by individuals who have their favorites. And Goat Mountain is a special trail to love. It's very steep, and so it has its own set of dedicated aficionados. And yet it's not for everybody. So we're looking for a few people to come out and help us clear the Goat Mountain Trail. We need a few more bodies for that one. We have pretty good signups for most of the rest. We also have a couple special days this summer coming up. We've got the tree ID on Morris Creek.
Morris Creek. We have an all-women's trail day in July going up Dry Creek. It's on the 12th. We also have an overnight in August, which I'm really excited for, because I think that's pretty special to clear trail and spend the night out in the woods. So I'll be in the first week of August on the 6th and 7th. And then
A little Spar Lake.
And then National Public Lands Day, too, going up East Fork.
Well, I'd just like to interject that something I think that's really nice about what you all do with your trail work days is that often there's a combined sort of point of interest part of it. Like, for example, last time you were doing some ID of wildflowers.
Yep, last Friday was our Earth Day project. So we did spring wildflower ID. We're coming up on the Morris Creek, second Morris Creek project in June. We'll include a tree ID clinic with retired forester Ed Robinson. And of course, as Savannah mentioned, our women's only is another way of making the trail work accessible to those who might not have been out before, might feel most comfortable, you know, surrounded by their own cohort. So
yes, it sounds fun.
Orange Trail, it should be fun. And who doesn't love a hike during huckleberry season to Little Spar Lake and the chance to spend the night there? So it
sounds fabulous. That sounds like a great trip that doesn't really sound like work. Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, that's a great list of trail work projects happening.
Yeah, and on National Trails Day, Trail Project Day, which is the first Saturday every year in June, and National Public Lands Day, the last Saturday in September, we'll be grilling burgers and hot dogs and having a few beverages afterwards.
Oh, how nice.
So there's the celebration part as well as the trail work.
Yes. So you all are really doing it up. It makes it sound so inviting.
Yeah,
I like the idea a lot. Okay. And it is the 20th year, so at some point, are there going to be events that are in addition to trail work to commemorate this big 20-year, Phil?
Yeah, we've got we always have a lot of events. Special this year for our 20th anniversary, we really pumped up the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which we just concluded. So listeners who missed out on that will have to wait till next year's Wild and Scenic Film Festival, but that's always a lot of fun. Our big annual summer celebration, which we call our State of the Scotchmans, it makes it sound very formal, but it's really much more of a party or celebration than a meeting, is the last Saturday in June, Saturday, June 28th. It'll be at the Blue Sea Ranch, 1 mile east of the Idaho-Montana border on Highway 200. Big signs out on the roadway. That's all you need to know. 1 mile east of the border on Highway 200. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to have bands. We have Idaho Department of Fish and Game coming out with their remote-controlled grizzly to do a little bear spray training demo. Nothing gets your heart pumping like an actual robotic grizzly bear charging you. It gives a whole new level to the training. We're doing a few of our awards to our Volunteer of the Year and Volunteers of the Year, I should say. A little bit of an update. Some music by John Fershey. And again, the ever-popular burgers, dogs, and beer, and raffle prizes. So it'll just be a fun, fun time, and hoping to get a good turnout for the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, so a great update on what's happening with the organization, some commemoration of the 20th year, and then a great party. What could be more fun?
Yeah, with bear spray training.
Oh, man, that sounds
really fun. You need to have that. Even if you've had that training, you need to have it under the opportunity to have a grizzly bear charging at you full speed.
Oh, man. Yes, I think that would be worth the trip, if even beyond burgers and live music and a great talk from you, Phil. If you don't come to hear Phil, come for that grizzly bear. Yeah.
We'll actually be having Rose do the talk this year. So
excellent. So Rose will be doing that. Well, we're a ways into our talk, and I think it's a great time for a song break. We'll spend some time off air talking about the rest of the program. But for now, we'll let you, the listeners, hear a pretty good song, I think, for today, which is a John Denver favorite, Take Me Home Country Roads. And if you're just joining us, this is KRFY, community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, and I'm joined today by Phil Huff, the executive director of Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And there it is, an oldie but a goodie, John Denver's Take Me Home Country Roads, and so apropos of this morning's talk. Listeners, if you've just joined us in the last couple of minutes, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and I'm here once again still with Phil Huff and Savannah Willison. Before we jump into more events happening at with Friends of Scotchman Peak, I would like to mention to you listeners that if you're looking for a different type of outdoor experience that wouldn't be in the wilderness, KRFY is sponsoring an Adopt a Highway on May 6th, and that will be happening in Sagal, starting at the Sagal Fire Department. And if you're interested in joining us, we'd ask that you do RSVP so we can organize, and just go ahead and call the station. If there's no one answering, leave a message. That number is 208-265-2992. And I think you all have one happening,
we
too.
Do.
Tell us about it.
Our Adopt-a-Highway Day is Sunday, May 4th. You can sign up for that online at our website at friendsofscotchmanpeaks.org.
Okay.
So. And it's a lovely section of road we have.
Oh, tell
near,
us.
Out near Clark Fork at the base of the B-Top, Round Top, Scotchman Peaks area.
Oh, that is a lovely spot.
And our roads do need a lot of love. They all have, unfortunately, way more garbage than you would think they have.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yes, it is. We find that to be true every spring and every fall. People, stop throwing the trash out of the windows. I know it's not UK RFY listeners, so I don't need to
share the information to your friends.
That's right. Your trashy friends who are throwing things out the window. But not you. We know it's not you. All right. Well, we're coming back to Friends of Scotchman Peak, and we want to talk events now.
Yeah, well, we started with events here, talking a little bit about the upcoming 20th anniversary State of the Scotchman's. And as Savannah mentioned, our Spring Highway Pickup Day is coming up right around the corner on Sunday, May 4. That always gets its own unique subset of aficionados. We have certain volunteers who really enjoy picking up trash. You know who you are.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. So
it's very true.
They always come out. I mentioned National Trails Day, which is the first Saturday in June, and we have a trail project planned that day. We also usually mark the occasion with a pint night locally. We've done Nutara over the years quite often. We're doing that on Wednesday, June 4th this year in celebration of National Trails Day coming up that Saturday. We're going to be holding a pint night at Nutara from 4 to 7 p.m. It'll be a lot of fun. There'll be some games, prizes, raffles, chance to sign up for projects with a little bit of incentive along the way. So
very nice.
Looking forward to that. So come out to the Nutara Fun Fundraiser Pint Night. Come back in June to the Blue Sea Ranch for the State of the Scotchman's, and then sign up throughout the summer for our trail projects.
Yes, very much so. I just have to give a little shout out to Utara because they are an underwriter for KRFY, and it makes a great location for all kinds of events and just getting out and having a beer indoors or out.
It does. They really are great, great community supporters.
We thank you.
And then we have an online event coming up that's going to kick off at the very end of May, the last couple of days of May, bleeding into that first week of June, our annual online auction. We're lining up the opportunities right now for the various things to bid on. Oftentimes, we have really nice donations from the local business community, as well as pieces of art, experiences that can be enjoyed, a whole bevy of different opportunities, both here locally in Sandpoint and in the other communities where we're at, in Libby and Thompson Falls. And very, very popular, fun way, a range of prizes from, you know, $25, $50 gift certificates on up to the couple thousand dollars that go for that semi-truck load of firewood.
Really? That's a great one.
Yes.
Is it already split?
I believe so.
Whoa.
We have to negotiate yet with the people who annually donated, but yes.
That is a great one. I bet you will have bidders on that fun prize.
So that's always a great way to both participate in a fun community building activity and support a local organization here, the Friends.
All right. And are there other events we need to still cover, or have we pretty much gotten there? Wait, I see Master Naturalist, something happening.
We have a presentation of the Master Naturalist. That's this Thursday at 9 a.m. at the Waterlife Discovery Center. You do need to sign up online. This is for one of their classes. They open some of them to the public, including this one, but they have a registration process. So you can go online and find the Pend'Oreille chapter of the Idaho Master Naturalist and more about that.
Yes. Did I miss it? Is there a certain topic?
Well, there are stewardship work and opportunities. Yes. The Master Naturalist involves the process of gaining your Master Naturalist certificate involves also volunteering or giving back and using that newfound knowledge you have about our natural resources. So a lot of Master Naturalists come out and become trail ambassadors or help us at events with outreach, using our mammals trunk to describe to youth and adults alike the various adaptations that mammals have. And some of them come out on trail projects even. Some of the special hikes and trail projects we had are led by people with that resource knowledge.
Yes, the folks that know about plants or trees or maybe birds more, things like that.
Yeah,
how nice. Well, what a nice way to compliment one another. And that should be a great, great program this week. Savannah, we've kind of passed this over, winter tracks. I know it's already come and gone, but how were you able to participate in that this year?
No, I wasn't. So it's not quite an area of my expertise yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a long way off now, so I don't know if we need to cover that today, but if you want to give a minute.
Great program. We designed after our winter forest carnivore study back in 2010 to 14, where we deployed camera bait stations looking for wolverine, fisher, marten, lynx, and got a raft of information on another 36 different species that visited them. We had all of this pent-up energy from volunteers wanting to go out and do another season and cameras. And Idaho Department of Fish and Game, who ran the study, said, no, we've got too much data already. That's the end of the study. So here we had this talent with time and treasure. And so we decided that we could put that to good use in an educational program. And out of that was born our winter tracks. We focus on 5th through 7th grade here locally. Locally being Bonner County, Sanders County, and Lincoln County. We reach out and partner with various schools. They come out and bring their students out on one-day field trips with us, and we get them for 3 or 4 or 5 hours and take them through various stations and do a lot of fun and interesting interactive things, from tree identification to mammal adaptation to tracking in the snow, avalanche safety, how to stay found and not get lost, winter orienteering, fire starting. Topics depend in part on the needs of the school and the volunteers we have for that given day. We have a great resource of volunteers with a lot of skills. It's a wonderful program, Savannah. You're going to really enjoy running it.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I think you will be looking forward to that. And nice to have something going on throughout the winter, because that can certainly be a slow time for a lot of us and a good way to get outdoors and remember how great it is to be outdoors, summer or winter.
Totally.
Yeah, well, the genesis of this program came from the state of Idaho not needing to gather more information, and it's a semi-segue into what's happening with the U.S. Forest Service. Let's talk a bit about that.
Before we go there, why don't we talk about our hikes program? We haven't talked about that at all.
Happy to hear.
That was when we started. One of the aha moments we had was during our very first month of getting things going in January. We realized we needed to get people out on the ground to develop a deeper connection and understanding between the local community and this wonderful area. So we started a series of hikes in January 2005, and we pretty much haven't stopped since. We've been doing both winter and summer hikes bleeding into spring and fall for 20 years now. We've got a wonderful array coming up. We're going to be announcing the full lineup probably at the end of this week, so check back online and we'll be doing press releases. But right now we're working towards 20 different hikes planned. Almost all of the major trails in the Scotchmans will have at least one outing. So if you have a favorite trail and you want to go out with others, you're not sure where the trailhead is, or just want the company of other people, you can find that date. If you have a particular date, you can find the trail that's open. We tend to go at the pace of the slowest person. The closing season hike is, Deb and I, we annually lead a trek up Scotchman Peak. First or second Saturday, Sunday in October every year. We've been doing that since 2005. It fills up pretty quick.
I'll bet it does. A nice time of the year to be doing.
That's a special one. But
that one.
We have some great hikes coming up. Again, natural resource specialist led in some cases. Mike Giese from the White Bark Pine Foundation is going to be leading a hike up into the White Bark Pine country to look and examine some of the tree stands and talk about the various habitat needs. We have a foraging hike focusing on mostly mushrooms. It'll probably be later in the season, the morels are popping, Julie, so I wouldn't wait until then, but the foraging hike's always popular.
That's okay. I've got some ideas for morels, Phil. Mm-hmm. I just haven't had success quite yet.
Yeah. We almost always do something like hiking with kids, young families going out, and how to do that, be safe and have fun, and, you know, most importantly, how to keep the kids engaged. And so those are some of the fun hikes we have coming up.
Highlights. Savannah, you'll be coordinating those?
Not as much.
Yeah, we have Savannah pretty full with the trail ambassadors and trail projects. So Julie Thurston will be coordinating those. But most of the work done coordinating that's getting the hike leaders lined up. Once that's done, the sign-up's online, and the hike leader takes over to manage the individual hikes. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, Savannah, I would imagine you might get to join some of those hikes.
Yeah, if it lines up and there's openings, I'd would definitely want to go join some of those hikes.
And get to know your Scotchman Peaks.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Phil, I have to confess, I've never walked Goat Mountain. I've never done that hike yet.
May 16, come out and help us with the trail project day.
I have to put it on my schedule. Yeah. I've been trail ambassador, but I haven't done Goat.
The beauty of doing the trail project day on Goat Mountain is you don't have to continually walk. We stop and take breaks to swing the Pulaski and use the crosscut saw. So it's actually an easier way to climb that peak. It's a particularly steep trail. So if you want to go up that trail, enjoy it, and not be overly burdened by the steepness, come out and join us on the trail project.
Sounds like the perfect way to get to know Goat Mountain, Goat Peak.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really is.
That sounds great. All right. Well, now we'll talk a bit about the U.S. Forest Service. And what are you all thinking is about the situation? How are you seeing this summer unfolding?
Well, it's really too early to have any certainty. I think if there is one word to define what's going on right now at the Forest Service, it would be uncertainty. The second one might be chaos. most people who are listening to this show have probably read things in the papers. I speak to, if not daily, at least several times a week to various friends who are working in the agency still, some who have recently departed. And the things that they will tell me offline are that there's a substantial amount of fear and chaos going on. If they're working now, they're unsure about their jobs, and that's a really hard way to be productive. So we do know that the ranks are thinning. We have Savannah sitting here with us because the ranks were thinned in February. We have read about the likelihood of reduction in forces or continued layoffs coming up sometime here in May. Of restructuring of the agency, consolidation of the forest units into fewer forests and fewer regions. And as that happens, people will be shifted around. So the real question is what remains and who remains and which jobs remain and which people remain to do those jobs. And right now, nobody has the answers to those, or at least the few who do aren't sharing that information more broadly with the public or even within the lower ranks of the agency. So
they just may not know. But
they may not know.
But it will impact our state, our trails.
It has to impact the user. Just as we look at fewer human resources available to take care of the resources, one thing we know for sure is that we've seen a large reduction in the number of people engaged, employed by the agency for recreation. And so there's fewer people from the agency to take care of trails. There's fewer people from the agency to take care of the roads that lead up to trails. And so there's more of a need for individuals and organizations like the Friends Trails, organizations in the trails community, to try to find out, prioritize the most basic needs, to do some triage right now to make sure we have the major trails in our area open and accessible through the summer. So we've been meeting with our colleagues from various trail organizations here locally and regionally, and again, have ongoing conversations at multiple levels with how do we go about, as a movement, as a trails movement, handling that gap. And there's a lot of energy out there. There's a lot of potential energy out there. Most all organizations rely in some form on individual volunteers. So if people are listening and wanting to know what can be done about this, one thing that can be done is sign up and volunteer with the Friends or with the Idaho Trails Association or with the Pend'ere Peddlers or with the Backcountry Horsemen or with whatever your favorite local trail group is. Sign up and help get out there. If you can't sign up and help get out there, donate. Help build the capacity to support the trails that you love by supporting the organizations that can do that work. And so we're all equipped, all the organizations I've mentioned, to continue to go out and do work, even with a diminished presence from the agency. There's formal agreements that each have with the Forest Service to do work on our public lands, and those agreements are in place and continue to be valid. We will be able to go out and do the work we've planned to do. We just all need to have the human capacity and the financial capacity to do so.
And to be able to do it with maybe a little some form of lack of coordination from the Forest Service, who used to really help all of these organizations make sure that they were covering the prioritized trails and not showing up on the same places, et cetera.
Yep, that's part of it. So in the lack of that, we can coordinate amongst ourselves. One of the things that the Forest Service does with a lot of organizations is help to prioritize where to go. We're working on a fairly distinct enough location, the Scotchman Peaks, that we get the user feedback. So we know the conditions of individual trails actually probably even before the agency does. On a larger landscape, if we look at all of North Idaho, the feedback on which trails need work can come from the public. And so we can take that function over, if you will, to a certain degree, and be able to continue to do the work, we the community in this case. And so that's what we're really looking at, seeking solutions with other organizations and, again, coordinating locally here with some of the ones I mentioned to just make sure we've got our main trails covered.
Yeah, well, that's a very hopeful statement, and I'm glad that you're all being smart enough to get going on it while there's so much chaos happening elsewhere. And it does give a person a bit of hope that our trails will be at least open, the main ones.
These are public lands, and that also means we as the public have a responsibility. We have not only the right to access them, we do have, along with rights, come responsibilities.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, folks, if you have the capacity, get out and help out or donate.
Yep.
Okay. Well, as we're coming to the end of this really wonderful talk, have I missed anything? Any last bits of info you'd like to share?
Oh, no, I think we've pretty well covered things today, Julie.
I think so too,
guys.
We
should look to Savannah.
Yes.
Savannah, anything you want to add that we haven't?
I think we've covered everything.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, feeling good?
Well, before we run off to a song here at the end of the interview, I would just like to thank you, Phil, as executive director of Scotchman Peaks, for one, spending time and being a volunteer here at KRFY, and also for underwriting support of the station. We just couldn't do it without groups and folks like you. So thank you.
You're welcome. It takes a community. It
sure does. And Savannah, it's been a great, well, mostly an hour, part of an hour. And it's so great that here the listeners for KRFY are getting to know you, and hope we'll see you out and about this summer, either on a trail or when we're in contact with you, signing up for one of the important jobs we can be doing for Scotchman Peak.
Awesome. Yeah. Look forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. It's been a great
Julie.
Talk.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Out with a song, and then time dependent, I'll be back to talk about some KRFY events and possibly some Sandpoint events. Here comes a John Lee Hooker.